This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good evening. My name is Sue and you are listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9. Co-hosting with me tonight is the gorgeous Lisa, as per usual. Hello.
Hello, Susan. I'm glad to be back in the chair.
Susan, am I already in trouble with you?
No. I'm just being a little bit formal because we were used to having a bit of fun on the music program until we're back on doing serious stuff now.
We're back doing serious stuff. Lisa, you know, when I have Sue and Susan, Susan was in trouble, I was in trouble. What do you do with Lisa? Lisa and... Did you have a name or did you have the middle name thrown in?
Lisa Joy.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had the middle name thrown in.
That's tough, isn't
Nana
it?
Nana used to always go, Lisa Joy.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh, the Nanas are good like that. And we've got a new segment and it's starting tonight with the gorgeous Sonia Suter. Good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Good evening.
It is good evening.
It is great.
Sonia, you're joining the Hear Me Roar team, which is so exciting.
Yep.
Now, once a month you're going to come in. Would you like to actually tell us what you're going to do?
Well, firstly, what I'm going to be doing is a part or a segment, first of every month, like you said, and we're going to be looking at news stories about women from around the globe, news about lesbian, bisexual and the trans community, but also women in general and what is happening for women, to women, by women across the world.
Go so, sister.
I know, that is just so exciting. So thank you for coming on board and it's great to have you part of the team. Bit more roar in the roar, I say.
Well, you'll see. Maybe you'll change your mind in 12 minutes or so. I don't know.
You're just dumping mic.
Letting me loose, Lisa.
Well, just turn off the mic if
you
don't like it.
Yeah, I know, you have the power,
I do.
Lisa.
Mm.
She has, Lisa Joy has the power. Now, later on this hour, hopefully we'll be going to be talking to Catherine Devereny. We're just waiting for her arrival. She's a very well-known television comedy writer, stand-up comedian, author, social commentator, broadcaster, and she's also a columnist in the Age newspaper. She's been named in the top 100 most influential Melbournians. How's that?
Wow.
Ooh,
I've actually seen her speak. She's hilarious.
She is.
And she's very cutting wit.
Love her columns. Mm. They're good.
Yeah, she's very a reservoir good. Girl gone wild, that one.
Mm.
So let's talk international women's stuff, Sonia.
Okay. Well, firstly, just looking for news in general on that subject is so wide and varied. So I like to focus firstly on perhaps current events from outside, looking at the United States of all things. And just last week on the 26th of February, Washington DC police in the US enforced Sharia law. They ejected women from a main prayer hall in a mosque in Washington DC. Some women who protested at the Islamic Center of Washington wanted to be included to be able to worship in the main prayer hall along with male counterparts. However, they were asked to leave by the police. But they say that their struggle will continue, and the source of contention apparently is a very small room that they're allocated, which isn't particularly very good standards, and it's stuffy and it's not carpeted and it's quite grotty by the sounds of it. So they don't like the idea of being boxed in while the guys have this bigger sort of space where they can worship and, you know, follow their particular things that they do. So over the weekend just past, one of the leaders of these women who are in protest, Jana Bint Hanna, and approximately 20 other women who prayed and entered and to pray in the main hall were ejected by the DC police. Which is very interesting.
So how many women are we looking at here? Is it half a dozen or a couple?
20. Just 20 ladies.
20
and
strong women, though.
That's very tough.
That's
and
great.
What I find fascinating about and why I've included that story is because the US happens to be a secular nation like ourselves, and yet they seem to be following a particular sexist law or ruling that they have within the community there, in the Muslim community, which is actually illegal, but... It's very strange that the DC police.
Yeah, I was going to say, why are the police
get involved
in that?
So that we'll keep an eye on that one.
But isn't it interesting though that once it becomes a religious thing, then it's okay to discriminate.
Mm.
So and they get a lot of protection too, and tax breaks, etc.
Which is really, really interesting. I mean, even the recently in the news here about the church is saying that we don't want women or we don't want this or that or the other. And it's okay because it's a religious-based decision and you can't fight religion. I think that's really
Certainly
fascinating.
Not.
And what's also interesting is the whole thing about the the sub nature of the room. You've got a room that actually the facilities aren't as good, substandard.
Yeah, cattle class. I mean, pretty much they only really came to this decision because of that. Not so much the fact that they are living under this illegal law in this pocketed, you know, minority community within the capital, the political capital of the United States. So I just thought this is a bit weird, and I thought I would include that to look at the way religion impacts on women's rights and women in general. And how, yeah, I guess they're suffocating.
That's really interesting.
A little bit like the room that they were stuck in.
Yeah, I wonder how big
hopefully
that was.
Change.
I wonder whether anybody else has had a similar experience, or you are Muslim, and how you do feel as a woman in those situations. Because I'm sure, you know, you might feel happy, you might feel okay. Your room, actually, your facilities here in Australia might actually be really, really good. So we'd be really interested to hear from you. You can text us on 0427 Joy 949. You can call Robert on the desk, 1300 Joy 949, or send us an email onair@joy.org.au if you have any opinions on that one. Sonia?
More? Yes, please. I have more. South African school closes its dorm because 27 girls were kissing.
Oh,
wow. Each other.
It was a private school.
It's an all-girls boarding school, and it was in South Africa, and it was shut down. Its dormitories were shut down when it was revealed that several of the girls were involved in relationships of a sexual nature with each other. And two girls at the time were caught kissing. They told the school authorities that other girls were also involved. Obviously, the pressure was probably put on them. And that I got that from the BBC News Online. It resulted in 27 girls in total being expelled from the, at this stage, unidentified school in KwaZulu-Natal province. So it's in the Natal province, which is, yeah, quite separate from, I guess, what we would call the more white part of South Africa. And South Africa is the only nation in Africa with anti-discrimination laws that protect LGBTIQ citizens, although anti-gay bigotry still remains very widespread. Now, a spokesman for the nation's education department has said that the school actually didn't have the right to expel the students, but they went ahead and did it anyway.
Mm. That's nice. Mm. That's really strange,
so,
isn't it?
How did that happen here, I wonder?
Would it happen here at all? Could it happen here?
I mean, would the incident occur, and would there be such a spotlight on it?
I don't think it could happen here.
To be expelled for that?
To be expelled for that reason, I just don't think that's possible.
No, I don't think so.
It has in the past, I'm sure.
But you'd never hear about it, probably.
But I wonder. I mean, it obviously does happen in dorms throughout male and female. But to actually target this group of women and say, no, I'm sorry, you're doing, you know, natural kind of things and we're expelling you, seems a bit bizarre,
doesn't
it?
So it did seem a bit unusual. And other news, just for a little bit of background, actually, because we were talking before off mic about representation of women within our political structures. Maybe you weren't in the room at that time, so cool, never mind.
No, my headphones just went weird.
Oh, did they? Oh,
yeah,
that happens.
Okay.
Looking at women in national parliaments. Now, Australia at this stage is neck to neck at number 32 with Afghanistan.
Oh,
nice.
Very interesting.
Really?
Okay. Why is that?
I don't know. I don't have that information. I guess we can only really guess.
How are we in line?
We're in line by 27.3% of parliamentarians being of female persuasion.
That's really
so
interesting.
So that means we both have 68 women in Parliament out of a total of 249 seats. That's pretty low.
That's
ladies.
Pretty low.
Pretty
and
low.
I can imagine that they wouldn't be, well, you know, I suppose you could break it down into the front bench, back bench, and way beyond bench, wouldn't it?
What about the
kitchen bench?
Oh, well, the breastfeeding bench. There is that.
That was expelled recently, if you remember.
Yes.
Well, quite a few months back now.
That was pretty.
The whole hoo-ha about that. And
rude,
they did that on the grounds that the baby wasn't a member of Parliament.
What a
load
of.
An attached member.
An attached member.
Yes. Are there specialties for that? I don't know. But yes, number one, interestingly enough, is Rwanda. With a total seats of 80, 45 women.
Out of 45% or 45 women out of
80.
Out of 80.
That's amazing. That's why the difference then? What's the difference in
culturally, I believe that what I've been able to dig up is because, you know, they had the terrible genocides within at the stage in the 90s. I believe they lost a lot of male counterparts and a lot of young men you know, were killed or their lives destroyed. And because it's quite a matriarchal culture in itself, women do take on a lot of dominating roles, which is really positive. And they've been the ones that have stepped forward.
That's fantastic.
The men aren't there.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
That is great.
We need a bit of that. We need a bit of Rwandan here, don't we? This is really interesting, Sonia. We'll just stop for a bit of a music break. We'll see if Catherine's around the corner. I'm thinking she's not yet, but that's okay. We've got lots to chat about today, especially with all this international news. You are listening to Hear Me Roar with Sue, Lisa Joy and Sonia. You are listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9. We've dragged this woman off the street almost. She's run up the lifts. You've dumped the kids in the car again, have you, Catherine?
They're not dumped in the car. So they're actually in there and they've got like a Rottweiler to look after them. And I have put the handbrake on and they're in the Crown Casino car park. So if anything goes wrong, there's some Chinese kids in the car next door will be able to help her.
Excellent. The security guards are good for that, aren't they?
Oh, look, they're all right. I mean, they're not qualified babysitters and they have just got out of jail. But, you know, they do help get the kids out of the cars if the cars catch fire. So you can't really complain.
Mm. That's helpful. And that lovely voice is Catherine Devaney. Now, Catherine, I'm going to read this bit because it's quite amazing. I have to read it. It's on your bio. You're a television comedy writer, stand-up comedian, author, social commentator, broadcaster and columnist in The Age, and you've also been named in the top 100 most influential Melbournians, which is actually a little bit scary.
Well, that was in 2007, and so now it's 2010. I'm nothing, mate.
You're crap
now,
you know.
I'm not dated, isn't it?
I'm not influencing no one. I'm in the top 100,000 most influential people in the People's Republic of Moreland.
I like that.
Wow. So, yeah, I've eaten my way down the food chain.
Well, you know, next step it'll probably be Thornbury.
Oh, look, the Darabin people. Yes, they're our neighbouring tribe, one of our neighbouring tribes, and that they're a very peaceful, loving tribe.
Yeah, Darabin's good. I'm a Darabin girl.
Yeah,
it's banjos and yoga mats.
It's, yeah, there's yeah. lots of double mummies with one syllable names, and they've all got lots of dogs.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a good dog or four.
You know, the police have a code for lesbian woman, and it's a 3070.
What's that mean?
That's the postcode of Norfolk. That is fair dinkum. I heard that from a cop.
I love that. See, it's Tofu Barbie was our kind of code. Code thing, isn't it? It's Tofu Barbie. You live in Northcote.
Really?
You've got a dog, you eat tofu. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I hate tofu.
I love tofu. Don't knock it.
Even if I was like not straight, I still wouldn't eat tofu.
Tofu's nice.
Yeah.
Tempeh's weird.
Tempeh makes me gassy.
Yeah, because it's got mold on it.
Yeah, but why are people eating these things when there's perfectly nice hamburgers or apples or lasagna? It's just like, oh no, look, it's really good for you. And I mean, if you marinate it in something and if you deep fry it on something and if you serve it with something really nice, it's like, well, if I did that to a turd, it would probably be nice.
And you've got to rinse it out every day.
What, your turd or your tofu?
No, the tofu in the bucket in the fridge.
Thinking that. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's a lot of work.
We'll get you on tofu at some stage. Now, that was the bio that's written on your website. Okay, now this is the other bio. You describe yourself as a serial pest, an accidental maverick, a brightest star, reservoir professional pain in the ass, god botherer, cultural terrorist and colourful racing identity, which I love that one the most. So did you write that one?
No, I didn't. That was I have called myself a colourful racing identity after pashing a random lawyer in a very colourful hat. But... No, that was the people who were doing publicity for my show.
Because it's good.
Look, I've called myself a serial pest. I've called myself a professional pain in the ass. I've never called myself for these other things.
There's God botherer there.
God botherer.
Yeah, no, a God botherer botherer.
Or bothered by the God botherers.
No, I bother the God botherers.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so bothered by
them. Yeah, yeah, and I them bother them. Too. I hassle them. That's what I do. I'm actually on the atheist...
Next week.
Cool. Atheist Convention with Richard Dawkins next week, which is really exciting because it came about this little bloke called David Nichols, who runs the Atheist Foundation in Australia, of Australia. He's got a little home office in South Australia. No one's paid him any attention for years and years and years. And suddenly I start writing about atheism and we become mates. And he said, would you come and I'm thinking of having a convention in Melbourne. Would you come along and do something? And I said, yeah. He said, look, it'll probably be in the back of a pub and, you know, I don't have any money. I went, yeah, no worries. I'll bring a lasagna. You know, let's party.
I ain't going to be toasted.
And anyway, no. He rings me up about, and I said, sure, no problem. He rings me up about 6 months later. He goes, look, it's got a bit bigger than I first expected. And I said, well, how do you mean? He said, well, look, everybody I've invited is coming. And I said, well, who did you invite? He said, Richard Dawkins, Peter Singer, PZ Meyer, Philip Adams. I went, what?
Oh, huge.
And now it's on at the convention centre and it's sold out like in January and it's got this 500 people on the waiting list. They had to cut the waiting list out. There's no way knowing that anyone on the waiting list is going to get in. But, like, I mean, they had to cut it at 500. What I probably find most interesting is that everybody's performing for free. Absolutely everybody. Dawkins, the lot.
What's it like to perform for money?
It's just like having sex for money. I prefer having sex for money.
Yeah.
Just because
you got to clean up a bit more though.
Yeah, I do, and I have to vajazzle down. Yeah. I've got to vajazzle my vajuzza.
As you do.
Yeah, and I see you've done a bit of vajazzling action down there.
You know why? This is. I'll just distract
Sue's
you.
Sue's wearing a lovely top. With a bit of a yoke,
yes.
Which a is yoke. Just about, it's got a yoke and it's a bedazzled yoke on it. I've got to say, it's about,
sorry about
I
that.
Don't know, it's about two tequila slammers away from a line dancing outfit.
It is actually. Yeah, it if is. I had a tassel or two, would it be all right?
Tell you what.
Yeah. And a mullet.
Hey, don't knock my mully.
Hey, and don't break her achy, breaky heart.
Yeah.
And so I'm on with those guys. What I do find probably most interesting about the Atheist Convention is on the 3rd of December there was held a very similar convention at the convention centre. Similar amount of people, similar amount of ideas, and it was given $4.3 million worth of funding from three levels of funding. The Atheist Foundation of Australia has applied to all of those levels of funding and got
nothing.
Absolutely nothing. It is, has not one skerrick of funding. Now, the one that I was talking about that happened on the 3rd of December was the World Parliament, the Parliament of World Churches.
Yeah,
and
I remember that.
They were throwing money at that. I mean, I just do not understand why we are living, so many things I don't understand, but one of them particularly is, why are they saying a Christian prayer at the start of every sitting of Parliament? I mean, A, it's offensive, it's divisive, it's discriminatory, and why are we basing any kind of decent society on the Bible, which is a cobbled up book of social engineering embedded in fairy tales and horror stories, which is wall-to-wall sexism, homophobia, racism, division, discrimination, cruelty, rape, torture, incest and mass slaughter, and ramblings of people having psychotic episodes that was written like between 2,000 and 4,000 years ago, which was 600, at the very least, 600 years. No, no. 1400 years before the printing press came into being, and
it's hard to chisel all that stuff into stone. You know that, don't you?
It's just,
that's probably why we're actually taking it. It's, some poor bastards chiseling away.
It's unbelievable that we're still talking about this, and that politicians are ramming their political beliefs down their throat. I'm sorry,
it's for votes.
Who's asked?
It's votes and dollars.
I don't buy it.
No,
I do not buy it because I don't hear anybody saying. Nobody has asked any of these people, do you believe in God? What religion are you? Like, no one talks about religion apart from Tony Abbott, and nobody takes Tony Abbott seriously.
Well, he's
not.
Yeah,
I mean, not even Tony Abbott takes Tony Abbott seriously.
So they're just thankful.
Especially after the budgie photo, like.
Oh, the budgie smugglers?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just glad there was a budgie in the smugglers.
And not out.
Be something.
Before we go to a song, we were talking about numbers of parliament and women. Women in Parliament. Graham of Bundoora wonders whether the number of women in Parliament is realistically reflected in the number of causes they take up as opposed to the number of men in Parliament who take them up.
Good point. I mean, how many community operations similar to this one and that women volunteer, they're more likely to come step forward and do it anyway than perhaps going into positions or being allowed to go into positions or encouraged to go into positions to actually get paid and, you know,
oh, that's really true. I mean, they've done scientific studies. There was a group, a business kind of headhunting group in the UK that was having really big trouble getting women into the high-paying corporate jobs. And they got somebody in who just said, they said, what do we do? And they said, just, you know, halve the wages. Mm. So what do you mean? So we'll just halve the salary that you say you're going to pay them. Because these women look at that salary and go, well, I'm not worth that.
Yeah. I saw a great postcard a few years ago and it said, if you want to prepare a woman for the workforce when she grows up, a little girl, to prepare her to go into the workforce, just half her pocket money.
So true, isn't it? Mm. You're listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9. We've got Catherine Devaney in the studio with us.
Is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9. Tonight we have Catherine Devaney in the studio. She describes herself kind of as a serial pest, accidental maverick, brightest star, all this other stuff about reservoir.
That was what my producer said. I call myself a serial pest and a professional pain in the ass.
And a God botherer, which we are talking about.
A God
about.
botherer.
We are on God tonight. Now, this person says, thanks, Catherine, for speaking about atheism. I agree totally. We need more voices heard. And one of those who missed convention tickets, they need a big screen outside the broadcast from Robin Perrin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like the footy or something.
Yeah, just like the...
down at Fed Square, maybe.
I'm reckoning, yeah. That'd be really good. Another one, having just celebrated Mardi Gras, now paying the price, why do you think there are more men at parties than ladies? I love my lesbies and would like to see more. Oh, there you go. More women out. Are you all at home lighting candles, taking baths and workshopping dinner? That's a gorgeous Lonnie.
Oh, that's
bless.
Sweet. We don't know the answer to that one. No idea.
And the song, Lisa.
Okay, the song was by it was called Lovely, and it was by Tin Pan Orange, is an Aussie artist.
That's a new one, isn't it?
It is a new
one. We're playing all new stuff that hasn't been heard on the radio before. Catherine, this person has actually said, check the Quran for horror, from Robert from Northcote. What about the Quran? We're talking about the Bible with all the discrimination stuff. I can't say I've read the Quran. I'm flat out with the Bible.
You mean if anybody wants to go to the Quran, they can be my guest. I'm knackered.
I tried reading Romeo and Juliet and I got stuffed, you know, with the language in that. The Bible just floors me. I don't get it.
What's really interesting, we're just talking about this, is Catholics are not so into the Bible. We leave that to the blokes in the frocks and the party hats to basically read it, tell us what not to do and then totally ignore it because sinning, hypocrisy and guilt turns us on.
They seem Does to it? Ignore it as well, don't
yeah,
they?
Oh, totally. We are marinated in guilt and hypocrisy from when we're born.
Do you think Catholics are more so?
No. A lot of people I know have got Catholic envy. They wish they were Catholic or Jewish envy because there is something a bit cool about, you know, it's not as fun as saying, hey, I'm a Methodist. You're going, yeah, not that many jokes there. Whereas, you know, you look up Catholic jokes or Jewish jokes, there's millions of them.
There's not one Protestant joke that I can think of. Oh, yeah, probably the Irish
one. No, there's the one about the little girl in church, a little girl in grade one, and Sister Mary's going around the class and saying, and Tony, what would you like to be when I grow up? Said, I'd like to be a priest. That's lovely, Tony. And Monica, what would you like to be when you grow up? Said, I'm going to be a teacher. Said, well, that's lovely. And Hamish at the back there. No, not Hamish. Who's next to you? Lucy at the back there. What do you want to be when you grow up? She said, a prostitute. And the nun said, a Protestant? And she said, no, I said prostitute. She said, oh, thank Christ. I thought you said Protestant for a moment there. So that's a well-known one. But we're getting on to my show. Ask me about that.
You're doing a show.
I'm doing a one-woman show in the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and the tickets are selling, seriously, like hotcakes, and we're wrapped. And so it's going to get sold out, which is great. So if you want to come, come now, because I'm not doing after when on the 18th of April when I finish it. That's it.
I'm not doing it. You're not coming back.
Forget it. And it's a show called God is Bullshit. That's the good news. And it's a celebration of not my conversion but my reversion to atheism. And I go all the way through from wanting to be a Catholic altar girl to now being atheist eye candy right up there, you know.
Next to Dickie Dawkins.
With Dickie Dawkins and, you know, and Christopher Hitchens.
Christopher Hitchens. I think there should be a Christopher Hitchens teddy bear. Because I want to hug him. I don't hug men a lot. But
look, I've been in the same room with him and I could have kind of met him.
Do you want to cuddle him?
Darling, I want to do more. I want to do more than cuddle. And let's get... He actually once...
His brain just...
He once said, one of his famous quotes is, the four most overrated things in life are lobster, champagne, anal sex and picnics. And I thought he probably shouldn't have done them all at the same time.
Yeah, well, yes.
Should have broken it up. I mean, that talk about binging.
Well, that's your day gone, isn't it, really? That's an average Saturday.
Rum, Sodomy and the Lash.
Yeah, I love that album.
It's another version. So I was thinking about this and a lot of people say, God, you know, I can't, you know, how do you, you know, I can't believe that, you know, you say what you say. And it's not a big deal for me at all. But it made me think about why it stands out to people and why it doesn't stand out to me. And people are very, very afraid of talking about atheism. I'm not sure what the fear is about atheism. I mean, you would think the Christians would be pretty rapt that we're going to be atheists because according to Revelations, only 144,000 people are going to heaven. So as soon as they meet someone who's an atheist, you go...
I can't wait for the rapture, quite frankly, because they'll be going, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yes, cool. And it will just be us.
It'll be just us left, won't it?
Just here at
I'm not going to be one of the virgins going, that's for sure.
Well, apparently, it's 144,000 are going to be going to heaven, right?
That's not enough.
And they are only people who have not defiled a woman.
Oh.
And I thought, well, that basically counts every woman.
That's gone.
And every straight man I know.
Yeah.
So heaven is going to be full of gay guys.
That would be party centre. That's like Etihad Stadium or the George Michael concert.
I was there last night and I tell you what, for a moment there I was confused because I thought I'd actually turned up at a fag hag convention.
I think it is.
Or you turned up at Sydney because you said Sydney about three times.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I just thought I really would love you to get, you know, very badly sodomised by a large stick with syphilis on it. In a filthy beak.
Or giant prawn.
How does that work?
Prawn, you know.
No, maybe like maybe he should have been a sodomised with a giant, I don't know, a Sydney Opera House. Just to kind of go, sounds, you're in Melbourne.
He might have been getting paid from Sydney Council maybe.
That was disappointing. It was full of incredibly well-dressed guys and badly dressed fat women.
I'm so glad I didn't go now.
It really was, and
you're too glitterati.
I was kind of both at the same time. But he was there. He sings a bit about religion. And he's got to have faith, and you know all that kind of stuff. And
he does actually, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But he's been around the traps a little bit, shall we say. I was
around
disappointed.
Around
the park. I didn't see him in the Gra parade, but somebody said to me he was. I didn't see him.
Really?
They said that he was dressed up as a policeman, and I certainly didn't see him, and I was commentating on the event.
Oh, a flashing policeman.
I think he was kind of one of the main policemen walking up the street, but I certainly didn't see him.
You know that I don't get gay Christians.
God loves the sinner, hates the sin is that what's been told to me. I don't get it.
You know that guy, one of my favourite guys is that guy, what was that? That evangelist from
to Tom,
the
Tony?
States.
With the wife with
Haggard,
two
Haggard. No, it wasn't Tammy Faye Baker's husband.
If somebody
it wasn't
knows,
Jimmy
SMS Swaggart. In.
It was the most recent guy. The most recent guy.
He got caught out, didn't he? Or he confessed
he
that
he was the
gay.
One who had this gay masseur that he used to do ice with. and he's like, you know, totally supposedly straight. And he's, what's his name? Yes, no, not Jimmy Swaggart. No, not Jimmy Swaggart. He's a really
Keep
recent
trying.
Guy. It's Haggard.
Haggard Swaggart.
Haggard.
Come on, text in 0427 yes. Joy 949.
And
I can't believe
it's only recent. It's in the last couple of years, and he was in the God Delusion, the Root of All Evil, which was the documentary with Richard Dawkins.
That was
and
cool,
he's done a lot of things, and he is this super evangelical Christian, and he was sprung, you know, with the
that's right. It was clean cut, and he was clean like cut. A pale blue and pastel shirt.
He's
and
now
pants.
Have yeah,
he's a Tiger now, Woods kind of.
Yeah, and he's now having this. I didn't like him when he was interviewed. I thought you're mean. You're a really mean guy. When he was interviewed, he's gone through some kind of church brainwashing, and
he's
Ted
better.
Ted Haggard Ted.
We're looking it up on Google as we
Ted,
speak.
Ted something. And he's gone through this kind of brainwashing / therapy. What's his name?
Oh, to be...
Haggard. Ted Haggard, it is. And he's now, he said, I'm not gay, I'm a heterosexual with issues. Oh. And can I say cock?
Well, you just did.
Because I said it to a friend of mine.
Disclaimer.
And I said, he said, yes, I'm a heterosexual with issues too, and my issue is an insatiable appetite for cock. He's a gay guy. Well, I hope he's gay, but his wife doesn't
know. And if he's not,
know.
That's okay.
Yeah, that is okay. But that always is super weird, all that kind of.
There's a whole lot of terminology about that now anyway. You know, you're not gay, you're a man who likes men, or you're not a lesbian, you're just pansexual. It's a whole lot of new
pansexual?
Things. Yeah. Pansexual is a new one. You
trisexual, it's probably what I am.
What, you try it?
Yeah, try anything.
Try it before you buy.
Go on, pansexual.
Pansexual is when you just fall in love with a person. So they might be male, they might be female. So you don't necessarily, it's not a sexual attraction to one specific or both sexes. It's more about just being...
The person.
The pansexual.
Do they have relations though?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. But then you're not bisexual. You don't classify yourself as bisexual because you don't consider either or. Yeah. It's just the way it is.
That's just like another bloody swinging voter, really, isn't it? I mean, sorry, put your cock on the block. You know, you've got to – I was talking to Rachel Cook.
Yes, she's coming on soon.
Who I launched her fabulous book the other day, which is called Closets Are for Clothes, which is a fantastic history of gay, lesbian, transgender, transvestite history of Australia. And a couple of people that I have had contact with in the past, and I'm not sure what gender they are.
No idea what
gender they are. And we were talking about how intellectually you don't care, but when you're used to knowing, your brain is trying to work it out, and you're just kind of going, why do I care? And I go, what do you do if you're dealing with someone who you really don't know what gender they are? It's not important, but it's...
You know what it is? You're not sure whether to say he or she constantly, and you go, I don't want to say,
you can use their name.
Oh, yes.
I know, but it kind of comes up, the gender, and you go, and so you kind of wait for them to say, or a friend to say, oh, yes, she would like a beer.
Yeah.
Or he would like a beer, and you go, oh, okay, and then you know what to use in the future.
But if you don't, how do you broach that?
You don't. You just wait.
Are you a man or are you a lady?
Yeah, lady. Actually, lady. Some people are offended with lady. We had this conversation.
I don't like it.
Don't like lady?
I don't mind it amongst my friends in kind of a piss-taking way. But when people saying, would you like to serve the lady? I'm just like, no.
I like the Lionel Richards song, Lady.
Nobody's taking comment on that.
That is the last time you're ever going to be there anywhere near anything that plays stereo. Music ever again. Right. Yeah, so my show, God is Bullshit, That's the Good News, is going to be on at Trades Hall between the 25th of March and the 18th of April, and hopefully I'll still be alive at the end. The show is looking fantastic, and I must say that I'm thrilled to bits with it. I'm currently memorising it, and it's great fun, and I just go, yep, and I've just... organised this sexy, saucy, sassy burlesque outfit to wear.
I was going to say, what are you going to wear?
Yeah, I've gone, there's one of the mums from school teaches at the burlesque school, and she makes costumes for wenches, clearly wenches.
That's fantastic.
And so I'm going to have a new outfit and a new show. So that will be great. But it's pretty busy with, you know, kids and work and life and doing a one-woman show every night, you know, putting on the rissoles, handing over to the babysitter and then getting in the car and and, you know, taking off.
And to the casino to leave them. Yeah.
No, well, that's what I could. But actually, they're now at the age where I can leave them with $20 and the number for a pizza.
Oh, good.
And it's cheaper than a babysitter.
It is.
So I can leave them home. Well, I can't
don't
leave
open the door. They'll be, you know, look, only to the pizza guy.
Our house is, we are surrounded by, we've got a great little neighbourhood and everybody knows everybody else. And we're not in each other's pockets, so they're pretty safe there. But I don't know what goes on when I'm not there. No. I don't think I really want to know.
You get kid cam.
What's that?
Kid cam.
What, you can spy on your children
you
with the cam?
Your, like you can with your cat, your dog.
You don't want to see.
Why would you want to spy on your dog? What he does, what he looks up the history on your internet. He checks your mobile phone bill when you're not there.
They're pretty clever, I suppose.
Oh, well, just before we go, because I know you do have to go. Religion is cultural practice masquerading as absolute truth. Evolution is only a theory simply because science does not claim it to be able to determine the absolute truth. Graham is on the road to the Gippsland Lakes.
That's bullshit.
Thanks, Graham.
Evolution is a scientific fact. End of story. No, no scientists are arguing. That's it. Only dickheads are arguing.
And Catherine is arguing.
Dickheads with science degrees.
She's going for it. Catherine Devaney, God is bullshit. That's the good news. It's on for the Comedy Festival from the 25th of March to the 18th of April. Get down to the Trades Hall. Starts at 7:15 just after her kids get some pizza. You can book now at Ticketmaster or at the door, but I'd say go Ticketmaster.
Yeah, look, it's going to sell out and I'm wrapped. But I'd love to see you all there. Love to see you all there.
I'll be there. I'm going to see the burlesque outfit.
It's going to be such a celebration. So thanks very much for having me. It's always great to be on Joy. I really enjoy it.
Oh, you've got to come back again. Thanks, Catherine. You listen.
I'll come back and play for the car.
Good luck for that. We're getting double that salary. Nothing.
I left the keys in the car, I left the door ajar. I didn't want to be alone. These are the days and the nights of these sweet humbling heights.
You are listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9. The whirlwind that was Catherine Devaney. She has left the studio. Graham called in. I'm so glad you did call back in, Graham, because Graham said that Catherine misinterpreted the text. And I can see now why, because he's got evolution is only theory and he's put it in inverted commas. So he's actually in agreement with what Catherine was saying. So Graham, I'm going to pass that on to Catherine because she certainly, obviously, maybe it was just the way I read it and my apologies. In that case, she absolutely agrees with you that, you know, it's absolute bullshit that they see it as only a theory because science doesn't claim to be able to determine the absolute truth. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Because they've said now that they can agree, some of these fundamentalist Christians can agree that the world is, I think it's 6,000 years old now.
It's 6,000.
Between 6,000 and 30,000 years old. And what they've done is they've taken the time of the dinosaurs and shoved it in conveniently between 6,000 and 30,000 years of history.
Right. How does that work for indigenous cultures?
Exactly.
Where were they?
It counts a lot of Australians out.
A lot of Australians, New Zealanders, Americans.
And the world's no longer flat.
I don't know about New Zealanders. But
I don't know. I don't know the time spans. I must have been pretty bad.
300 million. Maybe?
I said the world's no longer flat as well. Would they like to throw that one in?
It's got a slight curve to it, and we're worried about that bent.
Oh, okay.
Aren't we?
Bit all bent.
We're all
bit
bent.
Gee, Catherine, isn't she an amazing woman? I mean, people do look up to Catherine, and I think the thing is that she's just not afraid to say what she thinks. And a lot of women and men, you know, we're kind of modelled into just, don't say that, do this, don't do that. And Catherine, those boundaries just don't seem to exist for her. And she has the gift of the gab, but she's quite able to speak her mind freely and openly and without recourse, which is terrific. But I think a lot of us are scared of actually having that recourse. If you say something, someone's not going to like you or someone's going to be offended. Like, you know,
you're
stupid
at me
comment
now
about your music. You know? Lisa, what do you think?
Forgot that already.
Well, you know, sort of, you know, even in your circles, if you were to turn around and say, well, you know what, I don't agree with you, often you do get persecuted and you know, me.
Oh, do you need some time, Lisa?
Well, I do. No, well, I tend to just back off and
do you?
Keep going. It's like, all right.
Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Yep. I think. Do you think women in general are peacemakers?
Totally bending over all the time.
All right.
Let's go to Sonia's house and party.
Yeah, if you can, you know, get over the mess. No, I think women are more likely to be more supplicant, and definitely, particularly if you look at volunteer organisations, most of them are full
of women. But then you look at Joy, I mean, we have a, you know, we have a women component, but we're not full of women. We have a lot of male things. One of the, that's kind of a performance kind
we
of
we don't
thing.
Have enough women, personally.
We don't. Come on, girls. Come on. Girls on board. Do the radio. Do the Taste of Radio
it's
course.
It's not scary.
We
it's
did
not.
It.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun.
You and get to meet people like Catherine and...
And scare people.
Mm.
Gee, she's
with people like
and
Catherine.
And Christine Nixon, we had her. She was fantastic.
Yeah,
now,
I missed that.
We have got a range of few guests. Hopefully we've got Joan Kerner coming up in the future too. We do have Rachel Cook, who Catherine was speaking about when we went to her book launch. There's a whole range of people coming on in the future. And welcome on board, Sonia, on your inaugural flight.
Yes, how was it for you? Was it as good for you as it was for me?
The discussion on religion is a bit mind-blowing.
And by the way, I got the reference to the prawn.
Ah, you
District
did.
District 9.
I love that film. Because we mentioned South Africa and 27 girls kissing.
Yes.
So I don't know how it got there, but it got there, made that leap. And it's next week. What is it? Next Monday's International Women's Day,
it certainly is. So make sure you do something special. We have to go. We're making room for well. I was just going to say, again, my apologies to Graham for I probably misread that, but I will definitely email Catherine and say, Sue stuffed up. So you've been...
Go flagellate yourself.
Yeah, sorry about that. You've been listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9. Have a great International Women's Day on Monday.
Yes.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.